This is the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast. This is your friend, Joey Salazar. And as always, it's a privilege to be able to connect with you. And thank you so much for tuning in today to this episode. We launched this podcast with a goal to add value to our listeners' lives. And we just want to just give a special shout out to all those who are letting us know that it is making an impact in your life. We recently received a review on iTunes from somebody with the user or handle name, rather, Not Yet Seen, and simply says, "Hey, Pastor Joey has helped me become a better leader, but most of all, he's added so much value to my life." And I just want to say thank you to all those who have subscribed, who are sending us messages, leaving us reviews, sharing the channel with your friends and family. Again, we just want to add value in everywhere you go. And so thanks so much for tuning in. Hey, if at any time you want to connect with us, you have an idea for a podcast, a guest in mind, a question about leadership, hey, we're all ears here. All you got to do is send me a message. Send me an email at joey@journeyorl.com. Again, that's joey@journeyorl.com. And I'd love to take a moment to read those messages. Hey, well, today you're in for an absolute treat. We have none other than Lauren White on the podcast today. I had an opportunity to meet Lauren several years ago when I was doing a roundtable type event, and she was one of our guest speakers. And she came in and we hit it off right off the bat. Just a creative mind, a lover of Jesus, lover of people, and it's been really cool just to kind of see how God's been doing some pretty incredible things in her life. She's served, like I said, in the creative world. She's served in the online pastor role. She is a strategist helping companies and individuals with branding and getting their story and accomplishing their mission out in the world, and it's just really cool. This is also a topic that today's topic that we dive into is something that I think is super, super important, and it's actually about transitions. Honestly, we all go through transitions, whether you're in the church world or not. I mean, life is a series of transitions, and I've been able to see some of her life and the way she's handled transitions, and it's just really cool that the conversation we had was able to go there, and she was very open, very vulnerable to kind of let us kind of learn from her life and see how she's been able to manage those things. And so I'm really pumped for today's conversation. Again, I want you to lean in, get something to write with, take some notes, and thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one. Enjoy the conversation. Well, hello, Lauren. How are you today?
I am wonderful. And yourself?
I am doing great. Hey, I want to just early on, and I'll probably say it a couple of times, thank you so much for being on today's podcast. An early memory I had of you was when we met through Pastor Ontario Green, and he was hosting a coaching event, and I had a chance to go be a part of that event, and you were there too, and that's where I got to learn about you and your ministry and all that you do. And that was some time ago.
It was. I want to say, I guess maybe 4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah. And ever since then, I started following you online, kind of keeping up with you. And it's just really cool to see all the things that you're a part of and are doing. And so when I invited you, I was like, I don't know. We'll see if she remembers or if she says yes. But thank you so much for being on today's podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Well, for anybody who hasn't had a chance to meet you yet, would you mind just sharing a little bit about who you are, where you're at, or what you do, or anything like that?
Sure. Thanks. Again, my name is Lauren White. I am a strategist, a speaker, a preacher, purpose advocate, a bit of a spiritual gangster. Yeah. I met you through my branding firm. So I had a branding firm that worked with ministries and high impact faith leaders for about 10 years, transitioned out of that space. Have been working in pastoral ministry for almost a decade as well, and am currently working in strategy in the justice space.
That's amazing. That's so good. And
I'm always curious, you know, this is a leadership podcast and you're very much involved in leadership. And so I love to just pick your brain a little bit. What comes to mind when you hear the word leadership? What are some qualities or just how would you define leadership?
That's such a good question. I think I would define leadership as clearly leading people to an end goal. Or clearly leading people to a vision. And I like that definition because it really requires a sense of humility.
Yeah.
A sense of self-awareness. I think a lot of times it can be easy to want to be in a space of a leader. And I think more people are leaders than they realize, right? Whether you're leading a household or you're leading a ministry, or you're leading a business, or you're leading a team at work or anything like that. I think a lot of people, our leaders, maybe even when you think about your character, you know, you're leading people every day. But I like the idea of leadership, meaning leading people to an end goal or vision, because, again, it requires a bit of self-awareness. And it requires a bit of humility because basically you're in a space where people are trusting you to get them from one place to another, whether it's people that work for you, people that work with you, or people in your family. And you've got to have those two particular elements because you've got to know that you're clearly providing instruction. Right. Because there's impact and intention. And I think a lot of times if we're not recognizing it's up to me to get someone from point A to point B, if we don't recognize that, we take it as a way of like, oh, people should be serving me. But it's my job to make sure that you have the clarity that you need, that you have the wisdom that you need, that you have the resources that you need to get from point A to point B. And so I almost think that leadership and leader looks like leading from, it looks like leading from in front, but it also looks like leading from behind. And it also looks like leading from the side.
That's so good. Man, you shared so many great nuggets right there. One of the things I want to highlight that you just finished saying, because I feel like it resonates with a lot of people who are maybe listening. And even for a season, it resonated with me. But you said something along the lines of more people are leaders than they realize. Mm-hmm. And it could be very possible that there's some people listening right now. It's not just church leaders, but it's for the business person or the parent, the stay-at-home parent. And I think sometimes we don't see ourselves as leaders, like you just said, because we might have the wrong definition in our minds. We think it's a title. We think it's a position. So can you speak to that a little bit? You know, what are some of those things that sometimes block us, or how can we step into realizing that, hey, no, I am a leader where I'm at?
Yeah, I think one thing is really being solid in your identity and in your roles. I think sometimes, and I'll speak from it from a place of maybe insecurity or imposter syndrome, because I think if you're in a space where you don't realize who you are, oftentimes it's because accepting that position makes you feel like an imposter.
Wow.
But I think it's so important to, one, understand who you are outside of your flaws, outside of your weaknesses. Just because you have flaws or weaknesses, or just because what leadership looks like for other people looks different for you, does not make you less of a leader. And so I think a lot of times it requires us to kind of step outside of ourselves and really pay attention to the roles that we have. Like, I'm not just a dad or I'm not just a mom. I'm also a leader of a family or a leader of children or a leader of household. I'm not just a teacher, but my job is to get my students from point A to point B. Like, so I'm not just on a pastoral staff, but my job is to help undergird and to help lead people alongside my senior leader. And the same for business owners as well. And so I also, and we'll kind of get to this, I think, as we talk more about just my matriculation, which has kind of been here, there, and everywhere. But one of the things that I have always had to, and really started to grasp recently, is this idea that I am a leader everywhere I show up.
Wow.
Like every time I enter a room or I enter a space, my job is to leave that place or that person better than where they were, to leave a deposit of who I am. So maybe you're not an entrepreneur, maybe you are an employee, maybe you work in the corporate space. You're still a leader because you're in a role or a position that only you can do. And it's your job to carry whatever it is that you possess, making sure that is properly applied to whoever is around you. And it's your job to carry someone from one place to another based on the role that you serve in. Wow. So I don't think that there's really anyone that should not look at themselves as a leader. And it shouldn't give you this idea or this air of like, arrogance. I think it gives you a sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
As I'm a leader, then I'm more aware of my character because I know people are watching me.
Wow.
Or I'm more aware of how I speak to other people, or I'm more aware of my excellence and my execution in the way that I work. I think those things are really important, are characteristics of everyone that's in a leadership role.
Yeah. Man, I love that. You said it a couple of times already now, but I love the phrase of self-awareness, because I think a leader's greatest quality, or at least it begins with self-awareness. I got to know where I'm starting. I got to know who I am. And I love that you touched the topic of identity too, because when our identity is not, on firm foundation, when our identity is not secure, then at least in my life, that's when I've realized that that's when I've just been, I've become whoever others thought I should become.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and so it's so important that we would have the right voices, that we would be in our word even, and really have that firm foundation of our identity. Let me ask you this too, because, you know, you have stepped into different seasons at different times. How have you been able to maintain your identity firm, you know, as titles come and go? Or maybe you've moved cities, or different things have happened, you know, because, change happens and life comes, right? And it's just like, I wish everything could stay the same too, but that wouldn't also be success. And so how have you been able to manage just, you know, your identity, knowing who you are and be able to step into every room and be the leader God's called you to be?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you talked about the importance of us staying in our word. I think for me, my relationship with God has been the foundation for standing firm in my identity.
Yeah.
Because I've understood, and maybe there's people listening, especially people who serve on church staff. Church staff roles change. Change by the second, right?
Yeah.
There's many people who you matriculate through different roles and different seasons. With my firm, I thought that I would have my firm forever until God was just like, okay, this chapter is closing and it's time for you to move into the next one. I have had to understand that my identity does not lie in people's perception of me.
That's so good.
I have had to understand that then, because of that, I don't belong to anybody.
That's so good.
I consider myself a bit of a nomad. And so when I look at roles, like tangible roles or assignments, I look at them simply as assignments. I'm here to deposit who I am until it's time to move on to the next thing. And I think when you are able to detach yourself, like a leader is not just what I do, it's who I am. You can be that person in whatever space you're in. So I have had to really embrace who God made me to be, what my gifts and callings and talents are, and why they're necessary for the role or the assignment that I have now.
That's amazing.
If I allow myself to be made or shaped or formed, not that you don't get anything from the role that you're in, but if I allow myself to be identified solely by the roles or the assignments that I have or that I'm in, when it's time for me to move, because maybe I've deposited all that's needed for that assignment, and maybe there's something or someone else that needs the gift and talents that I have. Maybe I have grown out of a space, right? And there's another space that is that God is designed to help matriculate me forward. But if I get stuck, I leave myself in a space where I'm not only stagnant, but I put myself in really kind of a rebellious space with God. It reminds me of Jonah. And I think about Jonah because there have been seasons of my life where I have most identified with Jonah. When it was time for me to leave my firm, when it was time for me to close that chapter, God actually told me a year before I officially did it. Wow. It was during the pandemic. It was the summer, the end of the summer, and it was probably one of the most successful times of my business. I had lost a lot of contracts due to the pandemic in the beginning of the year and was in the process of negotiating about twice as much as I lost. It was a great time. My head was in the game. We were doing it and God was like, I want you to go back and join operational staff at your church. And I was just like, no. I actually, the position that I have at the time, I'd always been on our spiritual pastoral leadership, the shepherding side, but had done different stints off and on the operational side. So at the time they needed a communications director. And I was offered that role four times before they offered it to anybody else. And each time, I hope you find who you're looking for. There is no way I'm joining a pastoral staff in the middle of a pandemic. Absolutely not. And God was just like, no, I want you to do this. And I knew that if I said yes to that I was going to have to, close my firm because I wasn't going to be able to do both at the same time. And it created a lot of friction for me because so much of my identity had been placed in being a full-time entrepreneur.
Wow.
Everybody knew me for. I started my firm when I was 18 years old. I'll be 30 in a couple of weeks. Wow. And so my whole life had been really identified by being this full-time entrepreneur, having this branding firm. Like, this is what people knew me for. And if you were to ask me, it was something that I would have the majority of my life. And so to now be in a space where God was like, that chapter is closing. Those gifts are still necessary, but I need them in a different space. I really felt like it was the first time I felt like I identified with Jonah, where Jonah is like, I'm comfortable where I am. It makes sense where I am. And yeah. I don't want to go to the other assignment because it's uncomfortable and it doesn't reflect who I think I am and who I can be. And so I really, really had to, God really had to strip away from me in that season. There were a lot of other things that he just kind of stripped from me in that season. He had to strip away everything that I had attached to my identity, every tangible thing, because I started to believe that that the business made me who I was, that the social media presence made me who I was, that the connections made me who I was. And Pastor Joey, it was so wild. Like, someone had bought my business domain at the time. So I was locked out of like my business. He was just like, if it wasn't clear before that this is what I wanted you to do, I'm also like taking away everything that you feel like gives you identity. Wow. Had an incredible offer at the time. He was like, say no to it. You're going to do this assignment. Someone bought my business domain. You guys make sure that y'all's things stay updated. But I was like locked out of my business email. I was locked out of my Instagram for like 6 months. And that's where I really made like all of my connections and my networking. There were like all of these things and he stripped them. And he was like, I'm going to teach you like who you are. And you're not going to assign yourself to roles anymore.
Wow.
You're gonna know that you're still the creative I've called you to be. You're still the voice that I've called you to be. You still have gifts and talents. But first, you're the daughter that I've called you to be.
Yes.
And all of this external stuff does not make up what that is. And so I really had to like go through that and really kind of go through this humbling and surrendering and recognize that it's not up to me to decide like where I plant my feet. But where I plant my feet is not who I am. It's just who God wants to use or how God wants to use me for a specific time or a specific season. So roundabout answer, I really had to learn how to separate my identity from roles so that I could show up just as the person that I'm called to be. And wherever I am, that person shows up.
Yeah. I love how you said early on, you said, it's not what I do, it's who I am. Mm-hmm. Right. So, hey, I take away the title, I'm still a leader. Mm-hmm. I move cities, I'm still a leader, right? It's not Sunday anymore, I'm still a leader. Mm-hmm. And man, I would love to have you encourage somebody who's maybe listening right now, who's kind of going through maybe what you went through, and maybe God's leading them to like step into something new, but hey, they're comfortable right now where they're at. And they know deep down inside, they know like, hey, you know what? God has something different. And, you know, the grace has lifted for that assignment. It's done. And here's something new. But they've been thinking about it. They've been trying to pretend like, hey, God's not talking to me. It's my neighbor. What would you tell to that person to encourage them to lean into what God has for them?
Yeah. You know, I would tell you that God is omniscient, that he really, really cares about you. And he knows you much, much better than you know yourself.
Yeah.
There is no space that God has called me to, even if I went begrudgingly, there's no place that God has called me to that I regret. I may not have been able to see it, but I encourage you to get to know who God is as both Alpha and Omega. Yes. Someone that knows your end from your beginning. And I encourage you to lean into the voice of God and really challenge, because really it's just a test of our faith. A lot of times we don't like to move because of uncertainty. Like, if I move here, what if? If I do this, what if? If this happens, then what else will happen?
Yeah.
I want you to know that God can be trusted with your future.
That's so good.
He can be trusted with the details of your life. And he's not going to take you anywhere. He's not going to take you anywhere that's going to cause you to fail. In fact, I think the encouragement that's really needed here is if God moves you to a place that you're not ready to move from, it does not mean that you failed in that place. It literally means that your assignment is up, but that there's someone else, there's some space else that needs the gifts and the talents that you have. So instead of hoarding them for one assignment, God has the omniscience and the foresight to see, okay, the place that you've been in has reaped from what you've sown there, and it's time to go somewhere else. There's someone else that needs that impact that you've left in the assignment. So leaving does not mean that you failed. I think that that is opposite of a societal norm that tells us that we have to stay in places for long periods of time. Does not mean that you failed. If you're following the voice of God, you're not failing.
That's so good.
Moving forward, and that's what's important for you to remember.
Man, I felt that. That was so good when you said, not only can God trust you, not only can we trust God with our future, but it also doesn't mean we failed.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's what's holding us. That's what that's held us. And in my own life, I've transitioned multiple times, different ministries since Bible school. And I think if we were not careful, it would be easy for me to see myself as I failed. Where honestly, I transitioned well and I finished my assignment. And, and so I think that's so key. And I don't know, I kind of feel like the conversation is kind of leaning towards this direction right now, but just on the subject of transitioning, because you've transitioned, I've transitioned between ministries, different seasons. I had a graphics and website business for a while. Mm-hmm. I've been full-time pastor, full-time evangelist. I've done different things at different times. Can you just speak to that a little bit as far as transitioning well, how important that is, not burning bridges, leaving people. I love how you said it, you know, leave the place you're at better than how you found it. You know, can you speak to how, hey, you know what? Yes, God is a God who moves us, but there's also a way to go about that. Can you speak into that a little bit?
Absolutely. Pastor Julie, I feel like this is something that I could just write a book on.
I'll buy the first copy.
Thank you. The number one thing that I think is so important in transitioning well is honor.
Yes.
Honor is so incredibly important because there's many things that push us. There's many things that push us to transition. And I will say, even if you feel, because a lot of times the Holy Spirit will use certain frustrations as a signal that, like, okay, it's time to move forward. However, Holy Spirit will never have you transition out of frustration.
Oh, that's so good.
So frustration might be a sign that it's time to move, or maybe you've outgrown something, or maybe vision isn't quite aligned, but he will never have you move out of transition, I mean, out of frustration. I think that it's so important to remember, honor is of the utmost importance. Before God wants you sowing seeds, he wants you to sow good seeds. Yeah. And so I would say if you're in a space where you feel like God is calling you to move, I think sometimes we can make the mistake of hearing Holy Spirit say, it's time to do this, or this time is coming up, but then we don't ask the Spirit how we're supposed to do it. Right. So we download great plans, but I used this term in a conversation yesterday. Sometimes we got to ask Holy Spirit for HR grace. Sometimes we don't ask the Holy Spirit, okay, how am I supposed to do this? Yes. What is it supposed to look like? And so I would say prayer and transition is of the utmost importance. And sometimes it's before we're asking God how, for the thing that we really have to make sure is that our heart is in the right place.
Yeah.
And so I've been in spaces of transition where I had to ask the Holy Spirit, God, before I do anything, before I have a conversation with anybody, before I write a letter, Lord, work on the thing in my heart that is frustrated.
That's good.
Like, no, I may not like this. Yes, this may be a signal or a sign that it is time for me to move on, or time for me to move forward, but let it not be the thing that bleeds out of my heart.
Yes.
Because a lot of times sometimes Holy Spirit lets you know things abruptly. Sometimes he lets you know months and years ahead of time, right? That transition is going to happen. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can use that space kind of get excited, like, oh my gosh, it's time for me to move. It's time for me to leave. And we allow that space to frustrate us.
Wow.
And so first it's Holy Spirit, work on my heart. If there's anything in my heart that's not like you, remove that first. Give me the right perspective for this situation. And then I would say, especially if you're in a church context, or I don't know how this works in the corporate space, but I would say in a church context, don't be afraid to have conversations with your leaders.
Yeah.
Right. It may not be your senior leader right away. You have a director that you work with. Don't be afraid to have conversations. And I don't mean gossip conversations. I don't mean like angry conversations. I mean, hey, I feel like God is putting this on my heart. He's telling me this. This is kind of like the vision that's in my head. And maybe could you pray with me? Because I think this might be something that God is doing. And if your leader has the heart of God, then your leader is willing to pray with you, because in the beginning we said leaders' jobs are to get people from point A to point B.
Yes.
And so part of your leader's job is to make sure that you as a leader are also in the place that you're supposed to be, especially if that leader is God-fearing. So don't be afraid to welcome them into that space of transition. And then find out what the process is, right? A lot of times it's easy to be like, it's time for me to go. So I'm writing a letter and I'm leaving tomorrow. Take into consideration the weight and the impact that your presence has.
That's right.
Are there teams that you lead? Are there people that depend on you in a certain way? Is there a way that you can transition where people can be equipped so that when you leave, they're not left out in the dust? Of course, it'll make, you know, some bit of an impact with your presence not being here. But, you know, is there a way that you can leave or lead in a way that you've at least equipped people? I believe that this is probably something we got from Craig Rostell, but I believe that you always should be training your replacement.
That's so good.
And so that's something you should do no matter what position you're in. And so just making sure things like that, relationships like that are set in place so that that transition can happen as smoothly and as spirit-led as possible.
That's so good. I love when you talked about honor. I think there could be a whole podcast on honor, because one of the things that I think I heard Pastor Jabin Chavez say one time is we honor maybe not always because the other person's worth honoring, but because I'm honorable. That's just what I do, right? And so wherever I go, I honor. And transitioning well is super, super key. But I wanna jump over to the topic of, you know what, maybe there are some people listening who are like, okay, you know what, I know I'm supposed to transition. You know what, I'm ready to do it, but you know what, I'm kind of scared. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's kind of fear that's kind of holding me back. You know, it's just like, it's the fear of the unknown. It's fear of making a mistake. It's fear of, man, there's a lot of people depending on me. Maybe it's my family. Maybe it's my finances. And I know you, again, have transitioned. You've stepped into new seasons. And I can imagine at times it was kind of fearful, right? When you're getting locked out of accounts and people are hijacking your email and stuff. It's like, God, what is going on here? What are some of the things that, what's helped you kind of push through those moments of like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to let fear dominate me, but I'm going to make it through, because I know God's called me, but I'm also human. So it hurts and I feel certain things, but how have you been able to navigate that?
That's a great question. And I will say it never stops, right? It never stops. Yeah. This was just like as recent as a few months ago. I was in a role as our online campus pastor, and God was like, okay, it's time to close this chapter. And I was just like, skirt.
Excuse me?
wait a minute, we're doing this again? And at the time, like, of course, this is also my main place of employment. And so I know I'm supposed to make this transition, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do after that, right? I just know that God was like, it's time to close this particular chapter.
Wow.
And I think one of the things that helped me this time around was remembering my history with God.
Wow, that's so good.
Because if you think about it, if you're in a space of transition right now, this is not your first time experiencing transition. Whether it is transitioning childhood, transitioning to education, transition in other places of employment, it's not your first time facing transition. And you can look back at the history of God and say, God, wherever you have moved me from, even if it's been scary, even if I've been fearful, it's always resulted in your blessing, right? And it does not mean that everything is always smooth. Pastor Joy, I could tell you a trillion stories of transition. I think about even when I first got to the church that I'm serving at now. I branded them from the ground up, but I was not a member. Mm-hmm. I was grew up at my grandfather's church, and very much family business type. I'm sixth generation on his side, fourth generation on my dad's side. And it was always like this unspoken thing that I was his next in line.
Wow.
And God told me to move from there to accept a role at the church I'm serving in now. And it was terrifying. And the reception was not like great. Like, my family wasn't excited. They weren't thrilled. And my first year on staff was horrible.
Oh no.
it was so bad, right? It eventually got better, but it was bad initially. But what God allowed to happen, the blessing that God allowed to happen, even in the midst of a transition that was really, really tough, I would not be where I am today and have experienced the things I've experienced had I not said yes to that particular thing, right?
So
and even though that transition was not the softest transition, there's so many blessings and so many places, so many doors got open because of that yes, right? Wow. There were so many places I was able to sow, where I was able to grow spiritually, even in the use of my spiritual gifts. You couldn't have written it out for me. I wouldn't have believed it, right? So there's that transition. There's the transition during the pandemic. There's a transition of closing my firm, and here recently, the transition of leaving this particular role. I had to step back and say, okay, God, this freaks me out. But in every place of transition, I've never left me wanting.
Yeah.
I've never been without, ever. Right. There's never been a space where doors that maybe I did not think you would ever open were open because of a yes.
So good.
There's never been a place where I've been somewhere and people did not need what I had to deposit. You've always honored my yes. And so I have to trust that even though I don't know what's on the other side of this yes, you're going to honor it just the way that you always have. So I would say, if you're in that space, begin to remember your history with God. And know that he's not going to lead you to places of failure. They may not be the easiest things, but he's not going to lead you to places of failure. And every transition is not hard. This one actually was really, really sweet. Awesome. Granted, I did not know. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know where I was going to go. I knew that I was going to give 60 days to kind of transition. But people kept asking me, even my pastor, who the number one thing that he said when I told him it was time for me to go, he was like, it would be remiss of me not to honor your willingness and obedience to follow the voice of the Lord. He was like, it's the same voice that brought you to us 7 years ago. And if it were not for you saying yes, then we would not be here today.
Wow.
And so just to have that, right? And to know that I went to him in a space of honor, but I also served him in a space of honor and served our house in a space of honor. That was probably the best thing that I could have ever heard. And he told me, he was like, I saw the signs that you were leaving. But they weren't negative signs. They weren't signs of you having an attitude or anything like that. He was just like, I just knew that this wasn't the space that was lighting you up anymore.
Wow.
And as a good leader, I want you to be in that space. I felt called to the justice space since I was 8 years old. And I knew that God would open a door some way, maybe in my 30s, maybe in my 40s. But I didn't know exactly when it was going to happen. But I knew that it was a heavy call on my life. And it wasn't until I made this decision to say yes, that literally weeks later, God opened the door and an organization that I've admired since childhood was like, we need you. How do we get you here?
Wow.
No interview. No, because that was another thing, you know, I told God, I was like, if you're moving here, I was like, I don't want to have to go anywhere, not this time where I've got to prove my worth. I was like, I want to be remote so I can still serve the church the way that I need to. I was like, I don't want to go through heavy rounds of interviews and this side on the third. I want to make sure that my needs are supplied to a certain amount, making a certain salary. And he literally just checked.
That's
check,
amazing.
They were just like, we need you here. How do we get you here? and it was so, God allowed it to be so seamless. And there are little moments in between where I really had to trust him because I was like, okay, God, I don't know how this will work out. I don't know how that will work out, but I trust you. Yeah. Sometimes it's a matter of just taking the first step.
Wow.
And saying, God, I don't know what's on the other side, but I've got to trust that you know what's on the other side. So it doesn't get less scary, Pastor Joey. It's not one of those things where, like, if I say a prayer, fear will be removed.
Yeah.
No, you're going to be afraid because you as a human don't know what's on the other side, right? And yep. So it's a moment where you have to decide, I can either lean into fear or I can lean into faith. Which one am I going to do? And I knew that if I stayed in a place where God didn't call me, his hand wouldn't be there. Wow. And that's a lot scarier than me not knowing the other side. God's hand not being on where I am and what I'm doing and how I'm doing it is a lot scarier than me not being on the other side of a yes. So I would say really leaning into faith and making the decision. I'm either going to choose fear or I'm going to choose faith. It does not mean that fear is not there, but I'm going to choose to lean into the voice of the Lord.
That is so, so good. I was, as you were speaking, I was reminded of Joyce Meyer's either book or sermon who says, do it afraid.
Yes.
Right? You step out of it, you do it anyways, right? And as you were speaking too, the verse found in Psalms 103, verse 2 came to mind. It says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. Mm-hmm. And you talked about remembering, right? Looking back to get a reminder of your future, right? And just anybody listening right now who is on the verge of stepping out and is being or could be easily consumed by fear, may we remind you today that, you know what, just check God's track record. Just look back. Just look at all look at all the things that he's done for you and for me. And he promises to continue to be there for us. And Lauren, I've really, really enjoyed having you on today's episode. And as we begin to wrap things up, can I invite you to say a word of prayer? Maybe any final thoughts, you know, that you'd like to share with us, anything that's on your heart, but then also pray for anybody who may be listening today, who's in that season, who's about to take that step, that God would just be with them and bless them in all that they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God, we thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you for every listener under the sound of our voices. God, we thank you that just like you told the prophet Jeremiah, it's true for them as well. Before you formed them in their mother's womb, God, you knew them. You knew what they were called to. Oh God, so we ask Jesus in this moment that faith would arise to remember that you knew them. God, before they took a breath, before they took a step, before they had an idea of what they could possibly be or become, God, you knew them, Lord God. There's not a detail of their life that has missed you. God, there's not a detail of their life that has caught you by surprise or will catch you by surprise. There's not a detail, Lord God, that has missed your eye that you have not accounted for, Lord God. But I thank you, oh God, that you're shaping every connection, every opportunity, every door, Lord God. And God, just for that person who was afraid, Lord God, may they remember that at the end of the day, Lord God, we're not on this earth to please ourselves. We're not on this earth to please man, but we're on this earth to give you glory. You've given us breath, so we could give it back to you in glory, oh God. And you get glory out of obedience, God. You get glory out of faith. You get glory out of a yes to you, even when we cannot see. So God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would make us aware of our finite minds, of our finite wisdom, of our finite understanding. And may we exchange the faith in that for faith in your infinite wisdom, in your infinite understanding. I thank you, Lord God, that relationship with you will literally be transformed and become more intimate, Lord God, because we trust you as our compass and our guide. God, I thank you that you're not a God that just places us on a board like chess pieces and watches us play the game of life. But God, I thank you that you are in the trenches with us, Lord God. So I pray that we create space for your Holy Spirit to guide us, to walk through with us, to be with us, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing in every one of these listeners' lives. God, we thank you for this platform that you've given Pastor Joey. And we thank you for the stories that will be transformed for your glory, oh God. May we have the faith to give you a yes. May we have the faith to transition well, God. May we have the faith to believe the identity that you have called us to walk in, Lord God. And may we be dedicated to bringing you glory in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Well, hey, thank you so much once again for being on today's episode. I hope every single person, I know I was taking notes down. I hope everybody else did too. And hey, for anybody who wants to keep up with what you're doing, what's some of the best ways to be able to follow you?
I love, love, love Instagram. I am on Instagram at Lauren C. White Co. L-A-U-R-E-N-C White Co. Or you can shoot me an email if you would like. You can email me at Lauren@LaurenCWhite.co. Lauren@LaurenCWhite.co.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Lauren. And thank you to you as well listening today. I hope that this message really, really impacted your life. I know it did mine. Nonetheless, thanks so much for tuning in, and we will catch you guys on a future episode. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in. For more information and additional resources, check out joeysalazar.org and follow him on Instagram at joeysalazar. Please feel free to rate, review, share, and subscribe. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.